Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
There's some good news here and there. There's a lot of bad news everywhere. But the question remains, is the American dream still alive? Do you think that the American dream is still alive? Are you feeling optimistic or pessimistic about the future of the country? We could be talking about the next 30, 60 days until the election. We could be talking about the next year. We could be talking about the next 5 years or 10 years, the next 50 years. But just in general, curious today to hear from you, 866-348-7884. We've come through probably the strangest, in many ways, most troubling year that I can remember in my lifetime. I'm 54 here in 2020. It's September 2nd. So September, October, November, December, right? We only have 4 months left in 2020. Then we rush headlong into 2021. But are you optimistic or pessimistic about the future of this great land? Or is it once great land? Yesterday, with Mr. Mizrahi, who was on, who's a very successful hedge fund manager, observant Jew, talking about the biblical case out of the Old Testament for capitalism, he was remarkably optimistic. Loves the country. He's like, don't buy the narrative that, you know, that we're being fed, that everything's falling apart, the whole thing's on fire, Rome is burning. He's still optimistic. It's still the land of opportunity and freedom and liberty. And man, he was, that was really convicting to me because I usually don't feel that way. Not lately. Not since, I don't know, February 1st. So I'm curious, from your perspective, do you feel optimistic or pessimistic about the future of the country? 866-348-7884 is the phone number here today. Would love to hear from you and have you chime in on that. And if you're somewhere in between, you just want to wax eloquent a little bit about that. And let's just share that. Let's work through this together. That's the whole point. And I was listening to Rush Limbaugh the other day. And he reminded me of something that's really interesting. It's like 0.1% of talk radio listeners ever even think about picking up the phone and calling in. So that's kind of a reverse engineering way to come up with your audience size. But if you do phone calls all the time, which I don't, but when I do, I do because I want to have this conversation with you. I want to see what you think about something that I believe we should be discussing as a family of faith and as Americans. And in this case, it's a big question based on the things going on this year, where we're at politically, where we're at with the coronavirus, the Wuhan virus, the China virus, whatever you want to call it. Are you feeling optimistic still about the future of our nation and for our children and our children's children? Or are you feeling pessimistic? So I'm going to spend that time with you today on the air. 866-348-7884 is our number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. And again, just generally, politically, the culture, the direction of the country, economically, do you feel optimistic or pessimistic about the future of the nation? By the way, something that, and then I'm going to get to my first caller, John, I'm going to get to you in just a second. Today is, do you know what today is? Well, it's September 2nd. Do you know what the 75th anniversary is something? Do you know what the 75th anniversary is? Well, it's the day Japan signed the surrender, effectively ending World War II. I haven't seen hardly anything about that today. Although here in North Carolina, the moment is that the USS North Carolina, the great battleship there in Wilmington, and they're there today to mark the 75th anniversary of the end of World War II. So that's a great praise. That's awesome. Actually, Vice President Pence will be here in Raleigh tomorrow for a pro-life event at a local church at Christ Baptist Church. And then they're also going to be a Gateway, a great crisis pregnancy center, resource center down near NC State. Our friends down at Gateway have been on the show many, many times. So some cool things happening. But overall, back to the question, do you feel positive or negative, optimistic or pessimistic about the future of our country? 866-348-7884 is the number, or 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to John calling in from Brown Summit, North Carolina. John, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Okay. Not really wanting to remember me, but always remember the name of Jesus.
Amen. So what do you think, John? Are you feeling... Brother, go ahead.
No, I've just I've been going through a lot since I'm starting to see things about my mother and dad's estate and a relationship with the young lady and all that. I'd like to reach out to the entire world right now to just have them just lift their hands up and in my direction and all, because I don't understand some things that's going on in life right now. This child, right now, you know, I've got one parent from one area, one parent from another area, but both of them with Jesus now. And when I need answers, I just can't get them.
Yeah, and I understand where you're coming from, John, and I appreciate you calling and asking that, and I'll make sure that we say a prayer for you. But generally, and I don't know if you heard the question at the beginning of the show, but how are you feeling? But, you know, there's your personal situation, and I appreciate you sharing that with us. In general, John, how do you feel about the future of our country, the way things are going right now? Do you feel good or bad about that?
I'll say somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Somewhere about like when Paul was just about to go from killing and beating them, you know, to break style people, learning more about God.
Yeah.
I'm still in that fold, you know. I feel like I'm before John with a lot of things, or before Paul with all them things. I don't have an alcohol and drug problem or anything like that, but I do have a problem, like, you know, the better job. And
sure,
you know, I don't mind things like, you know, if they had to talk to you, orientation, drug screens, things like that. I've been trying to stick with what I'm doing right now to try to come out from under a whole lot of things, trying to be the most pleasant person I can. But there is so much that learning about God, trying to understand about God, nobody ever talked to me about God, and I'm just trying to get the big picture. I can look out and see the vastness, and all. I know that man can't do that. There's no way man can do that. You know, just like when you look at a tree, man can't do that, or grass. Or
yeah, we can make a lot of things, but we can't make that. John, I'm up against a break, but I appreciate you calling in and sharing that with us today. Interesting phone call. What do you think about the future of this country right now? Are you optimistic or are you pessimistic? Do you think, like the president said recently, that like a lot of politicians like to say, our best days are ahead of us, or are they behind us? 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Good to be with you. So my question for you today, please give us a call, 866-348-7884. With everything going on, it's been a tough year. Obviously, it's just September 2nd, 4 months left, 8 under our belts. And probably 7 of those 8 are the most disturbing, challenging, troubling, strange, pseudo-apocalyptic months that we've seen in American history. But are you feeling optimistic now about our nation's future, or are you pessimistic? I'm fighting pessimism a lot, personally, about the nation. And I did an event a few years ago, and Ann Graham Lotz was there speaking, Billy Graham's daughter. And I asked her if she had much hope for America anymore. She actually said at the time, no, I don't. I have hope for Americans through the gospel, but I don't have a lot of hope for the country itself. And that was a very sobering moment. I appreciated her candor. And a lot of people were like, oh, really? Gosh. But I'm kind of there. Not all the time. Yesterday, talking to Charles Mizrahi, a great hedge fund manager, talking about a biblical case for capitalism. Boy, he was optimistic. And that was really convicting to me. But I'm not. My head's not in the sand. So obviously, there's a lot of bad stuff going on. I'm just wondering for you. Are you feeling generally optimistic or generally pessimistic about the future of the nation and where we're at and what's been going on and the election process and what's happening in the streets with COVID, and whether you're looking at Seattle or Kenosha or Portland, crime in Chicago, what's happening in Washington, D.C., politically and otherwise? I mean, this is a really bad year in our nation's history on a number of fronts. So I'm curious for you. pessimistic or optimistic? 866-348-7884. If you'd call in, I'd love to hear your opinion on that. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Optimistic or pessimistic about the future of the nation? And some of my friends on Facebook Live are chiming in too. You could look right here in the awesome new studio that we're in, which was painstaking and expensive and wasn't on the radar screen, but God has brought us through this. And so we're going to need your help to get through the rest of the year. I'll start talking about that next week. But if you want to join us there, the Steve Noble Show on Facebook, and we're Facebook Live right here in the studio. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Victoria, thanks for calling in. Go right ahead.
Hi. You know, for me, it really depends on November. You know, if I'm looking at it from, you know, without looking at it through my spiritual eyes, because I think, you know, they're so diametrically opposed platforms, whether it's Democratic or Republican. And I think one is more so, you know, about growth and vitality for the nation and keeping the nation, you know, a free capitalistic society in which all can really thrive. Of course, we need some, you know, changes so that opportunity is for everyone and not just the majority, but minorities will also share in that to a greater extent. But I don't believe we need a nanny state or socialism. But if I'm looking at it through my spiritual eyes, you know, I'm still optimistic because God is in control of all things. And I think what we're seeing this year is what judgment really looks like when God takes his hand off of a nation. But, you know, he's not done with America, so I feel pretty good.
Yeah, and I appreciate you saying that. Great call, Victoria, and some great points. God bless you. Thanks so much for calling in and sharing that. And that's, hey, God's not done with America. Now, again, like Victoria said, Steve Dace was on a while back. He's on the Blaze. We text back and forth, and he's got a lot of great information. Brilliant guy. But, you know, we were talking about it offline, and he was like, well, this is a really effective dry run for the man of lawlessness. And when you want to see a little bit about when you take the restraint of the Holy Spirit out of here, and we're not going to go down the eschatology lane right now, but end times theology, but you start considering if God just kind of abandons a nation to its own devices, what's it going to look like? Take a look around. You got government taking advantage of a situation to grow rapidly in its power and its control, and most people just kind of said, okay. They took advantage of the good nature of most Americans, and we were, okay, we're down for the 15 days to flatten the curve and 30 days to knock this thing over and 45 days, and then next night, now it's 5 months. And now people are, we passed that line in the sand a while ago. And now it's just government overreach and government tyranny and government control. And largely because people just kind of sat around and let it happen. And then you get the civil unrest, the rioting, the protesting. And I'm all for peaceful protests. That's kind of how this nation got started. But once you get going and then rioting, looting, violence, lawlessness, defund the police, get rid of the police, get rid of the government, burn it all down to the ground. Now you're taking a pretty good look at what it's going to look like under the man of lawlessness. And boy, that's sobering. And from that perspective, I'm like, yeah, things don't look so hot for the American future. But like Victoria said, a lot of this, whether you like to hear this or not, is actually going to hinge on what happens in November with the presidential election. It's that big of a deal. We're talking about existential differences between these two candidates, and that's going to have a huge impact. 866-348-7884. How do you feel about the future of our nation, positive or negative? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH, optimistic or pessimistic? Deanna, thanks for calling in. Go right ahead.
I'm optimistic. I feel like right now there's an awakening happening with believers, and we've separated ourselves from our faith. And as far as where the world's headed, you know, we've been so complacent and not standing up for things that we should stand up for, and been just on the sidelines, just quiet, you know. I think right now believers are starting to wake up and see there's a reality to, you know, not walking and talking and speaking out and actually being followers of Jesus.
Mm. Yeah, and I think, you know, apathy over time turns into exactly what we see here, and you allow things to go and go and go. It's like the frog in the pot, that old example. And then once you understand what's happening, it's too late. I don't think it's too late, because with God, it's never too late. But for the nation itself, yeah. Short of some awakening and some revival and some sanity in Washington, D.C., it's very troubling. But I think as Christians, and I appreciate you saying that, Deanna, we need to remain faithful, and I think we need to remain optimistic, because our trust is in the Lord. It's not in man.
Yeah. And it reminds me of when Elisha came out of the house he was in, and he asked for his servant's eyes to be open.
Yeah. Yep.
Look spiritually what's going on right now.
That's right.
There's no fear. There should be no fear. You know, God is with us. He is for us. Who can be against us?
Amen. So, yeah, that's a great point. And we haven't been given a spirit of fear, right? We've been given love, power, and a sound mind. And we need to remember that. And this is a great opportunity, despite the darkness and how broken it is and the lament that we should all be experiencing. It is a great opportunity for us as Christians to put a different testimony, if you will, out into the public, despite the dark times. That, hey, it doesn't have to be dark, and it certainly doesn't have to be dark forever through Christ. So that's a great point. Deanna, thanks so much for calling in. Thanks for sharing that today. God bless you.
Thank you.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye. And that was great to hear from. We're going to go to Connie here in a minute. Connie, I'm up against a break, so I don't want to give you 15 seconds to talk and then hit the commercial. So I'm going to keep Connie on hold. If you'd like to call in and share, just generally, are you feeling optimistic about our nation's future or pessimistic? Thumbs up or thumbs down? Are you concerned? Are you somewhere in the middle? Give us a call. I'd love to hear what you have to say, what you're thinking, what you're feeling on this particular subject today. Here on the Steve Noble Show, 866-348-7884, 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH, the 75th anniversary of the end of World War II. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Coming up in the final segment of the show, we're going to talk to Pastor John Collins. He's the executive pastor at Harvest Christian Fellowship, all the way out there in Southern California with Pastor Greg Laurie. I've worked with those guys for a number of years. That was one of the greatest seasons of my life, an incredible evangelistic ministry and church. Pastor Greg Laurie, obviously a gifted evangelist. They've got something starting this Friday called A Rush of Hope, which is, they're calling it a cinematic crusade, all Labor Day weekend. They pivoted very well because they're excellent in the digital space, social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all of that. And their online presence is awesome. They do a lot of great work on Facebook. And Greg's obviously a gifted evangelist. And so when the COVID thing hit and things got shut down, man, they started doing this Harvest at Home with the Harvest Crusade. And then do you remember back Good Friday and Easter Sunday, Trump tweeted out about Harvest Christian Fellowship, and they had so many people tuning in, and Craig's a great evangelist, and they've literally had tens of thousands of people making a profession of faith since all the way back in like February. It's really been amazing. And so working with the digital realm and the technology that's available, A Rush of Hope is going to be all this weekend. So we're going to talk to Pastor John Collins about that in the final segment of the show. That we should be optimistic about. That is a move of God. That is the gospel. That is a great tool that we can all take advantage of and share. Facebook Live and harvest.org. And to put it out there, you do not know what God can do with your little mustard seed. And your little mustard seed could simply be sharing this, A Rush of Hope, on your Facebook page. Or just tweeting it out or sending a text to somebody. That, hey, somebody that you know that you might be having some gospel conversations, or they seem, it's the time when it's got to be anybody but you, right? They want to hear from somebody other than you. And Greg's gifted. He's a gifted evangelist. So we'll talk to John Collins in the fourth segment. So I'm excited about that. Let's jump back over here to Connie, who's been kind enough to hold for a while. Connie, thanks for calling in. How you feeling about our nation?
The nation I'm praying for, and I agree with the lady and you, what y'all has just said. That's about what I was going to say, but it's an exciting time for me. I see what's happening, and if you read Jeremiah 5 and Matthew, I think it's 24 or something like that, it's just fulfilling, and it excites me when I see that. And like Jeremiah says, they have eyes and can't see. Mm. They have ears and they don't hear.
Yeah.
But the same thing happened. These people was warned by Jeremiah, but they didn't know that the armies was marching to them. And you see what happened to them. You can read it and find what happened to it. But I pray for the nation. I pray for our leaders. And it is. I tell everybody, I'm excited because, you know, this scripture fulfilling itself.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah.
And that's very encouraging.
The Lord, he saved me.
Amen.
Yes, it is. It's how you look at it.
That's right.
And God tells us not to get in a fast pace. He tells us what to do and what not to do, and it comes down to either obeying or not obeying.
That's
are
right.
you saved or are you not saved?
Yep, pretty simple.
Yeah, and we just need to pray. We need to fast and
Amen.
just rejoice. Lord, Amen. We ought to be the happiest people on earth. I am.
Yeah, rejoice always.
Lift your hands.
That's right.
Lift your hands and praise God.
Preach it, girl. Rejoice always. I say again, rejoice. And that's not based on what's going on in the world or on the news or in the White House. That's based on a done deal.
Keep your mind on heavenly things.
That's right. What a great point.
Okay.
Connie, thanks so much for calling in. God bless you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. A great point, right? And again, there you are. So rejoice. I'll say it again. Rejoice, right? That's not situational. Rejoicing, joy is in the Lord, which doesn't change. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews, right? So we have to remember that. And so you've got this. Every once in a while, you got to like slap yourself in the face and go, oh, yeah, that's right. I've been saved from my own deserved condemnation by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm a child of God through Jesus. I have an eternal security right now and an eternal home in heaven. And heaven eventually comes to earth. And all that stuff's mine. That's a done deal. Boom. Wow. Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. I should be rejoicing about that while you lament over the state of the nation. That's just the tension of the Christian life, okay? But what a great opportunity for all of us. Let's go to Gene, who's calling in from Charlotte. Gene, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi. I just started listening to you a couple of months ago. But
great.
I really find your program very interesting.
But
good. Yes, I'm kind of like in the middle where you are finding yourself about this country. I'm from the island of Jamaica, originally, a citizen of the United States. And I have never found this country to be a place of pessimism. Mm. I felt like this is the land where you can come and have all kinds of opportunities. And all kinds of possibilities are here for a lot of people who come here from different countries. When COVID happened, I wasn't afraid. I was not afraid at all. I kind of knew immediately this was something getting us to be fearful as a believer. I didn't get into that. But when the violence started and the rioting and the shooting and the killing, and I saw people who were supposed to be our protectors in our cities not doing anything to stop it and actually giving voice to as encouragement, it started to let me be afraid. Like a kind of fear started to settle in my spirit about, is it possible for people to deny what is wrong and continue to encourage what is wrong, yet you are asking for equality and justice? The Bible tells us that we can't fight evil with evil. We have to fight evil with good.
Yep,
and I know we're dealing with mankind who has fallen and don't always know what God's values are. But we as believers, I kind of sometimes feel a little bit afraid that we are not being aware of the spiritual evil connotation that is behind all of this.
All of it.
And that's where I think my anxiety kind of rest with the body of Christ, just taking it on surface level, dealing with things just naturally and not seeing the spiritual thing, evil that is behind all of this. And so that's where I am. But I'm very optimistic about who God has chosen for this time.
Amen.
To bring back some decency and righteousness in this country that once looked to God for answers.
That's right.
And I am praying also that's where this all will lead us back to a place of real, persistent, passionate prayer.
Amen.
That God would intervene in all of this.
Amen. So well said, Gene. God bless you. Thank you for your input. Thank you for listening to the show. And to have your perspective as somebody that wasn't born here is so helpful for all of us. God bless you. Thanks for calling in today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome. We'll talk again, I hope. Let's jump to a great point she made, right? And that's that perspective. She has something that most Americans don't have, which is perspective, because she wasn't born here. And but still optimistic, but concerned. But yes, we need to remember, we think Trump's reelection is important, but is it the ultimate answer? No. And all of this stuff, we're looking at the outside. It's kind of like Elisha's servant. You look at one thing in the natural, but the real reality, the real truth is underneath that. It's in the spiritual, and we need to remember that. And several callers keep reminding us of prayer, and we need to be major league people of prayer in this major league dark season in our nation's history. That's the strongest tool that we have, and we tend to leave it in the tool bag. Let's go to Amy, who's calling in from Julian, North Carolina. Amy, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hello. I'm a first-time caller, but I have been discouraged, you know, a little,
yeah,
looking at things. You watch I try not to even watch stuff, but this show has really encouraged me with all the ladies. You know, all you've had was optimism. And
isn't
I have
great?
To say, as a believer, every day, you know, the Bible, Jesus said himself, we live in today and not worry about tomorrow.
Mm.
And that's one of the things when I look at all of this, I'm going to live in today, and because I have no, you know, my hope and my future is in Christ, because I am a believer too. And I just want to say thank you to the ladies for their encouragement.
Amen. Yeah, that was great. I'm right there with you. It's such a wonderful point, and that's been a message that's come through each and every call, and it's been so awesome and a great challenge to all of us. Amy, thanks so much for calling in today. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great afternoon. And so that just reminds me, all of that just reminds me. I'm going to go to the King James Bible on this one. I don't usually use the King James, but Luke 21:28. Okay, remember, you know this one. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. So as things get darker, we know we're getting closer. Isn't that great? And we need to remember that. I'm going to go real quick to Rachel, who's calling in from Oxford, North Carolina. Rachel, you've got about 45 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, you know, in prophecy, the noted ones are saying that America is not in the end times, so something drastic or the rapture was going to take us out. So, I mean, this is where we are. But my thing is, the optimism is in fasting and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
One of the founders, as you know, of the Black Lives Matters is very proud by the fact that she's conjuring up the devil and evil,
yep,
spirits and necromancy. That is blatantly in our face.
That's
how
right.
How do we combat that? There is only one way.
Fasting and prayer.
Fasting and praying. That's
amen.
It.
Amen. What
and
a great reminder.
We should take a stance for that.
That's right. Rachel, God bless you. Thanks for that reminder. Such a powerful truth. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Been spending most of the hour today picking your brain a little bit about optimistic or pessimistic about the future of the country. And that most of the people that are calling, and God bless you for your optimism, where we can separate kind of the physical reality, what we see going on, from what we know the Lord is doing and what the Lord is continuing to do. And so we live in that tension of the Christian life where we're kind of surrounded by things that should cause us to lament, and we should weep over the state of a lot of things. But like I just said, look up. When these things are happening, our salvation draweth nigh. Jesus is coming back, and the darker it tends to be, the closer we are to that. And so we need to be taking advantage, and I know that might sound bad, but you know what I mean. Be eternally aggressive for lostness. Because I think for a lot of us, we struggle where a lot of Christians I know care more about saving America than seeing Americans saved. And America is not eternal, but every single American is. C.S. Lewis once said, you've never met a mere mortal. Everybody you meet's either in everlasting splendor or in eternal horror. You go to heaven or you go to hell. And so I've had the privilege over the years to work with Pastor Greg Laurie and the Harvest Crusade team, and Pastor John Collins is the executive pastor at Harvard Christian Fellowship out in Southern California. And people like Harvest, the Harvest Crusades, Greg Laurie, all over the place. They have been for decades. And it's really been awesome to see how God's been using them. You pivoted so well, John, throughout the whole COVID situation. It's great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in, buddy. How are you?
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Good to hear from you.
Thank you as well.
You know, C.S. Lewis also said that Christians never say goodbye. And it just always reminds me that always have reason to be optimistic because
Amen.
We are going to be together in eternity. And so, yeah, our focus needs to be on that truth.
Right.
And even while we go through this pandemic and all of these issues of unrest, there's hope.
There's always hope. So I wanted to talk about two things. Mostly I want to talk about what A Rush of Hope is, the Cinematic Crusade. But I also wanted you to let people know, John, because it's been so rewarding and enjoyable and flat out fun to watch what God's been doing with you guys since the COVID thing happened. And when you guys pivoted to Harvest at Home. So tell us what happened there and what's been going on, because it's been amazing to watch God move.
Yeah, well, it's actually was ongoing even before COVID, you know. John Irwin, who we've partnered with in this endeavor, who has, you know, done some masterful films already, he really had the idea or the belief that, you know, the next wave of evangelism could come in the cinema through the movies. And so that had been a topic of discussion for really several years. And then when COVID hit, you know, Pastor Greg was looking for ways to pivot. The natural thought was, how can we use what John does and in cinema and create some kind of a crusade type of environment where we can invite people to Christ? And so that's what came of it. We took three of John's most recent films, the most recent being I Still Believe, the life story of Jeremy Camp, and then, of course, Woodlawn, which told of this story of unrest and the Jesus movement in the early 70s, late 60s. And then, of course, I Can Only Imagine, telling the story of Bart Millard and the relationship, the rocky relationship he had with his father and how God redeemed that. And so Greg has used all three of those movies as ways of illustrating how the gospel changes lives. And that is the rush of hope that we have.
Yeah, so tell us how this is going to kind of play out all weekend. So this is, you can watch it on Facebook, and you can go to harvest.org. It's going to be across all the platforms that Harvest is on, which is all the ones that we're all on all the time anyway. But A Rush of Hope, described as a cinematic crusade. So kind of tell us a little preview, John, of what we're going to see this weekend and how we can use it.
Yeah, well, it's an hour-long film. It's artfully done. It's done in a way that is very moving and, you know, people will be touched by these stories, and then Pastor Greg, with his gift of the evangelist, you know, weaves them together with the gospel. And so it's designed not so much for the believer as much as it is for believers to gather their friends into their living rooms or homes or any place where they could watch church, if that's possible, to bring their friends to hear a presentation of the gospel, which will be given multiple times through the course of the film. And so we're encouraging people to put together watch parties. They can pull the film down online, as you said, through any of our digital mediums. And it will be being played multiple times throughout the entire weekend, starting at 4 o'clock West Coast time on Friday, and it's aired four times on Friday and aired five times, I believe, on Saturday, another six or seven times on Sunday, and then on Monday another four to five times. So there's any time that's going to be convenient, you could have a watch party, or you could have multiple watch parties, you know, and invite friends over.
Yeah, it's such a great idea, and I'm really looking forward to it. I've read a couple of reviews. One guy I read just yesterday said it was the most powerful evangelistic movie, any type of movie that he's ever seen. And obviously, so John and Andy were involved in the production of this, is that right?
Yes, yeah. Kingdom Productions, which is their company, is basically, helped put it together with our team, our video crew here.
Now, of all the things that you've done over all these years, the Harvest Crusades, Harvest at Home, and like I said before, John, Harvest has been so blessed with the type of talent that you guys have out there. Does anything that you guys have done is compared to this, or is this truly a unique offering coming out of Harvest that's just kind of an Esther moment and just for such a time as this?
Well, I guess we'll find that out. Our hope is that it, you know, lays the tracks for a new wave of evangelism, a new way of reaching people. You know, it's a lot of great things, I think, will come out of the COVID crisis that we're in.
Yeah.
You know, people able to communicate in different ways, you know, using Zoom, using the technologies to bring us together. Obviously, there are things that we don't like about it. We do want to fellowship as Christians and be in each other's presence and have meetings where we can gather. But at the same time, you know, we have these opportunities, and the gospel, you know, cuts across all of the technical obstacles that we might face, or not obstacles, but maybe, you know, more, not an obstacle, but maybe it's an advantage, you know, to be able to reach into somebody's life through their cell phone or through one of the digital platforms that they might just stumble across, be it Facebook or, you know, whatever they happen to be on.
Yeah, whatever they happen to be on. And right now, I mean, the old phrase that the night is darkest just before the dawn keeps coming to my mind as I consider this and how we can use this evangelistic tool. And I just read a story yesterday, John, that over last year, 2019 in the summertime months versus 2020 in the summertime months, divorces across the nation are up 34%. We've got nightmares out there with what it's doing to our kids and anxiety and school shutdowns, depression, anxiety, drug abuse, sexual abuse, spousal abuse. I mean, it really is so dark right now, but the gospel can be so bright with that. So I know that Greg will present the gospel and give people a chance to respond. How should we follow up and interact with what God's going to be doing through A Rush of Hope? As that invitation is given, how can we follow up and be a part of that process with the people that we share this with?
Well, I think most importantly, you know, we want to, if you're an individual that brings somebody to watch this film, you know, whether you bring them to their home or you just make them aware of it through Facebook or whatever, you know, I would encourage them to get involved in a local church some way and to help them to find ways of being discipled. You know, that may be the one downside of being able to present the gospel on these mediums, but somewhere along the line we still need to have these folks surrounded by believers in a church that teaches the scriptures so that they can grow in their faith, and we'll have tools available for them online, but you know, there's nothing like the encouragement of a believer and coming alongside these folks. So, you know, we believe it could be the largest weekend of salvations we've ever seen. We certainly have the reach to accomplish that. And so, you know, we're looking for the church to come alongside and take up these folks that need Jesus and come alongside and help disciple them.
That's exactly right. And we're excited to watch that happen and be a part of it. This isn't something, hey, everybody, hey, that's really cool. I really appreciate that Harvest is doing that. That's a great thing. No, now with knowledge comes responsibility. So you know about it. The tool will be available all weekend, harvest.org, A Rush of Hope. And now you use it. And the better way to do it is have some people over, have dinner, have lunch, whatever the case may be. But be there for it and then follow up, have that conversation, and let's use this to the glory of God and for the good of our lost friends and neighbors. John, great to hear from you. I'm so glad you had a chance to call in. Really appreciate you taking the time. God bless you, brother. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks, Steve. God bless you.
Okay, pal. Thanks so much. Harvest.org starts Friday, okay? A Rush of Hope. Mercy Me is involved for King and Country, Jeremy Camp. Plus, it's a cinematic experience, beautifully shot by John and Andy Irwin, who've been on this show many, many times. Just looks beautiful. They are in some beautiful locations. I'm pretty sure none of us have ever seen an evangelistic kind of cinematic experience like this. Harvest remains on the cutting edge of that, and a great opportunity. And again, all weekend, starting Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, and even into Monday, on Labor Day. What a great opportunity. Let's make sure in this darkness that we're shining the light, the truth of Jesus Christ. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.